That was the news of the day. You're listening to the radio program What America Wants to Know. I'm Rita Lewis. In our series, Milestones in American History, we will hear today about the famous Boston Tea Party. Let me welcome historian Walter Peabody, who published his new book about the Boston Tea Party last month.
Hello, Mrs. Lewis. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Peabody, even though the Boston Tea Party is something very familiar to Americans, you claim in your book that most people don't really know how or why it came about. Can you give our listeners an explanation of the incident?
Yes. Well, after the French and Indian Wars, which took place between 1754 and 1763, and had cost the British Crown a lot of money, Britain faced debts of £132 million. The solution to this problem was to raise taxes for the colonists. The Crown had to pay for the soldiers who protected them from the Native Americans, or Indians as they were then called, so it was only fair that the colonists paid taxes just like British citizens at home. In 1764, Parliament in London introduced the Sugar Act, and in 1765, the Stamp Act, which didn't actually involve the colonists in paying a lot of money. Nevertheless, they got really angry about the new laws, because, due to the great distance, they hadn't been able to send any representatives to London. So, the new tax laws were made by politicians who, to a great extent, had never been to New England. The colonists started to rebel under the slogan, "No taxation without representation." The British Finance Minister, Charles Townsend, wanted to avoid conflict with the colonists. The taxes imposed by the Sugar Act and Stamp Act were taken back. But the Townsend Acts of 1767 said that the colonists now had to pay taxes for importing leather, paper, and tea. These things were needed in everyday life, but with the new tax, they became very expensive. So this law again angered the colonists. What the British government had not considered was the strength of the desire for independence in the colonies. The colonists refused to spend so much money and boycotted tea from China, which was sold by the British East India Company. By 1773, the company had large debts and huge stocks of tea were rotting in its London warehouses. They had no prospect of selling it because smugglers were importing tea from Holland without paying import taxes.
Did the East India Company go bankrupt then?
No, it didn't come to that. To rescue the company, the British government passed the Tea Act, which allowed the East India Company to import tea from China without having to pay import taxes when the ships unloaded in London. But it still had to pay the much lower American import tax as soon as its ships entered an American harbour. This way, the company was able to sell its tea for half the old price, cheaper than the tea offered by the smugglers. If you think the settlers were happy about the cheap price, you're wrong. They had the feeling that the Crown wanted to influence what kind of tea they were buying. They didn't want to be controlled. They also thought it was unfair to support a single company, especially one which seemed to have a great influence on the decisions of Parliament. Wealthy smugglers started to terrorise the East India Company with attacks on their warehouses. Many citizens demanded that the tea ships should sail back to England without unloading tea they didn't want. At the time in question, three ships were lying in Boston Harbour: the Dartmouth, the Beaver, and the Eleanor. The captains didn't want any trouble, so they agreed to sail back to England with the tea on board. But the British governor, Thomas Hutchinson, who was very loyal to the Crown, refused. He ordered the harbour to be blocked for protesters and would not allow any tea-bearing vessels to leave until they had been unloaded. A group of citizens, calling themselves Sons of Liberty, had been holding regular meetings, planning ways to achieve greater independence from the Crown. Their leader, Samuel Adams, famously said, "This meeting can do nothing more to save the country." That was on December the 16th, 1773, the evening before the tea was due to be unloaded. Samuel Adams himself could never have imagined the power and courage of his fellows. The Sons of Liberty, thinly disguised as Native Americans, headed towards Griffin's Wharf in Boston Harbour, where the Dartmouth and the newly arrived Beaver and Eleanor lay. In order to prevent the tea from being unloaded and sold in New England, they secretly carried the casks of tea up from the ship's holds to the decks, opened them, and dumped the tea overboard. They worked quickly and efficiently, and by dawn, over 342 casks, or 45 tons of tea, worth an estimated £10,000, had been thrown into the waters of Boston Harbour. Nothing else had been stolen or damaged. Even the lock to the wharf, which the men had to break in order to get onto the ships, was anonymously replaced not long thereafter. This event became known all over the world as the Boston Tea Party. Tea washed up on the shores around Boston for weeks. Once wet, it was unusable, of course.
What happened after that evening? The East India Company lost a lot of money there. Surely they wanted the offenders to be punished.
Of course they did. They claimed that their losses had to be paid for as well. But they could not find out who was really responsible. Britain knew that something had to be done, especially since many other colonies, following the Boston example, carried out similar acts, such as burning ships. So in February 1775, the British Parliament passed yet another law, ending taxation for those colonies that were able to pay for their own soldiers. As you can imagine, most colonies couldn't, so the unrest went on. British politicians knew they had to do something to stop the colonies in their attempt to gain independence from the Crown. Lord North said, "Whatever may be the consequence, we must risk something. If we do not, all is over." The British government felt that the events in Boston should not go unpunished and responded by closing the port. In addition, Samuel Adams and two other popular resistance leaders were charged with the crime of high treason against the Crown. In the colonies, some New York merchants offered to pay for the losses of the Boston Tea Party to support the Sons of Liberty, but the offer was turned down. The call for independence could be heard all over New England. One could say the Boston Tea Party was one of the many important incidents which led to the American Revolutionary War. At least the Boston Tea Party and the reaction that followed helped the revolutionaries to find support in the 13 colonies that were eventually successful in their fight for independence.
There's just one thing that I do not really understand. Why did the Sons of Liberty dress up as Native Americans? Did they want to pretend that it was the Native Americans who threw the tea into the water? Is that why the British government could never find the guilty persons?
Very good question. Some people do believe that this was the reason. But, in fact, the Sons of Liberty never wanted to blame the Native Americans, nor did they disguise themselves as Native Americans so that no one would see who they really were. Some of the men were not disguised at all. Others had just put a feather into their hat or painted their faces black.
But there are many drawings of the Boston Tea Party which show men that really look like Native Americans.
That is true, but these drawings are completely wrong. You shouldn't forget that the incident took place on a cold December night, so no one would have gone to the harbour wearing nothing but a cloth around their hips and legs, not even Native Americans. They usually dressed in thick fur coats in winter. The disguise had a purely symbolic meaning. The Native Americans had always been repressed by the Crown, even at a time when the colonists had still felt themselves to be British citizens. They were the first people in New England who suffered the rules and regulations of British government. British soldiers had taken away their land, their goods, and their freedom. But the Native Americans did not give in. They kept their traditions and their independence as much as they could. So they became a symbol of freedom and independence, which the colonists made use of in the Boston Tea Party.
Thank you very much for your explanations of that truly fascinating milestone in American history, Mr. Peabody. We've learned a lot, and I'm sure many listeners would like to know more. So why don't you tell us more about your book,